All right, strap in for this deep dive. We're going all the way back to 1946 with United States v. Cosby.
A case that really, you know, took property rights to a whole new level.
Literally to new heights.
Exactly, yeah.
So imagine this. You're a chicken farmer.
In North Carolina.
Yeah, in North Carolina. Life's pretty good.
Peaceful.
You got your chickens, but then...
The U.S. military.
The U.S. military comes along. And they decide to turn this nearby airport
into a hub.
Into a busy hub.
For low-flying planes.
And we're talking.
Like, really low.
83 feet above the ground.
Just picture it.
Not exactly a peaceful chicken farm anymore.
No, not at all.
So this really makes you think, how high up do your property rights extend?
It's a fundamental question. And this wasn't just about noise complaints, you know?
Right.
Cosby's chickens were literally being scared to death.
Oh, no.
We're talking over 150 chickens.
Wow.
Imagine, I mean, the chaos, the disruption.
The feathers flying.
Yeah, the feathers flying everywhere. And not to mention the impact on Cosby himself. I mean, he was suffering from lack of sleep, anxiety.
And all the noise.
Constant roar of planes overhead. It was a serious, serious problem.
Well, and, you know, I'm not a farmer, but I'm guessing.
Losing 150 chickens.
That's got to put a dent in your business.
A huge dent.
So this wasn't just a minor inconvenience. It was affecting his livelihood, his well-being.
Yeah.
So what did he do? Just kind of shrug his shoulders and accept it as part of the, you know, the war effort.
No, he fought back.
He did.
Yeah. He sued the government.
He sued the government.
He did.
Wow.
He argued that these flights constantly flying over his property constituted a taking.
Like they were taking his property.
Essentially, yes.
Wow.
Under the Fifth Amendment.
Okay.
Which says the government can't just seize your property without compensation.
Okay.
This wasn't just about a few chickens. It was about property rights in the age of aviation.
Yeah.
This new technology.
I gotta admit, suing the government over noisy airplanes.
Pretty bold move.
That's a bold move.
Mm-hmm.
But did he have a leg to stand on legally?
Well, he actually won his initial case.
No way.
In the court of claims.
He won.
Yes.
So this set a precedent that a citizen could sue the government over the use of airspace.
That's right. It was, yeah. It was a big moment. And the court awarded Cosby $2,000 in damages.
$2,000? That doesn't seem like a lot considering the disruption, you know, in his business and his health.
Well, it was 1946.
True, true.
But you're right. It might not seem like much today, but this case was always about more than the money.
Right.
It was about establishing a legal precedent.
Yeah.
You know, drawing some boundaries in the sky.
Okay.
And the government, they weren't giving up so easily.
They weren't.
They appealed.
Okay.
All the way to the Supreme Court.
Wow. So from a chicken farm in North Carolina to the Supreme Court, that's quite a journey.
It is.
It is. In this case, though seemingly simple on the surface, it was about to bring up some major legal questions.
Absolutely. Questions that would shape the future of aviation.
Yeah.
The justices, they had to grapple with some really big concepts. Does a landowner's property extend infinitely upwards into space?
Right.
How do you balance private property rights with the growing needs of aviation?
Wow. Yeah. The stakes were high.
They were.
And the Supreme Court's decision in Cosby would change how we think about the skies above us.
Yeah.
So what happened? Did they side with the chicken farmer or the government?
Well, the Supreme Court did something pretty ingenious.
Uh-oh.
They crafted a compromise that created a whole new legal framework.
Oh, okay.
And that's what we'll unpack in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, so last time we left off with the Supreme Court trying to sort out this chicken farmer's case.
Yeah, it turned into this huge debate about, like, property rights in the sky.
Yeah, exactly. So what did they decide? Did they say landowners own all the air above their land?
Well, they realized we couldn't stick with that old idea.
Yeah, that ad Khalilum thing.
Yeah, like owning the land means you own everything above it forever.
Right, all the way to infinity.
That would have been chaos. I mean, every satellite, every plane.
Would be trespassing.
Exactly. Air travel would be, well, impossible.
So no owning the moon just because it happens to be over your house.
Exactly. But then the question is, where do your property rights end?
Right. If you don't own all the way up, where's the line?
They came up with this concept of navigable airspace.
Navigable airspace.
Basically, think of it like highways in the sky.
Okay, I kind of get it.
The space planes need to use to get from state to state for commerce, for travel.
Makes sense.
Congress has the power to regulate that, you know?
So if a plane's way up high, like 30,000 feet, Yeah. It's in that navigable airspace.
Exactly. And that wouldn't be considered a taking of someone's property.
Okay, but what about those military planes in Cosby's case? They were flying right over his chicken coops.
Yeah, and that's where it gets interesting.
Right. 83 feet isn't exactly a highway in the sky.
No. So the court said, okay, Congress can regulate that navigable airspace, but landowners still have rights to what they call the immediate reaches.
Immediate reaches.
Like the airspace that's, you know, necessary for them to use and enjoy their land.
Okay, so like the space right above your house, for example.
Yeah, and if the government does something, anything that messes with that use and enjoyment.
Like those low-flying military planes.
Exactly. That could still be a taking under the Fifth Amendment.
Even if it's not technically in that, what did you call it?
Navigable airspace.
Right, navigable airspace. So they sort of got rid of the infinite ownership idea, but
they still gave landowners some protection against low-flying aircraft.
It's like they said, the sky might not be the limit, but there's still some rules.
Exactly. They recognize that property rights, they're not just about the ground.
Yeah, it's the space you need to actually use your property.
Exactly. You can't just have planes disrupting everything.
And if the government messes with that, they have to pay you.
Right. But they didn't just leave it vague. They laid out a specific test.
A test. Okay, I like where this is going. What kind of test?
To figure out if those low flights were a taking, they had to meet three conditions.
Three conditions, okay.
First, the flights had to be directly over the property.
Not just, like, in the general area.
No, right over it. Second, they had to be frequent and low enough to be a real problem.
Not just a plane passing by every now and then.
Right. And third, they had to really mess with the owner's ability to use their land.
Okay, so it had to be really disruptive, like a train going by right overhead.
They actually compared it to an elevated railway. Like, imagine that built 83 feet above your house.
Yeah, no thanks. I can imagine that would be disruptive.
So they applied this test to Cosby's case, and those military flights, they met all three conditions.
So he won.
He did. The court said those flights were a taking of his property.
Wow, so the chicken farmer took on the government all the way to the Supreme Court, and he won.
It's quite a story, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
So in the end, he was compensated for those chickens and the disruption.
Well, the Supreme Court didn't decide the exact amount.
Okay.
They sent it back to the lower court to figure that out.
Okay, so they just decided that he deserved to be compensated.
Yes, the principle was established. The government can't just fly over your property and cause a huge disruption without paying for it.
This is fascinating. Cosby is such a landmark case. It doesn't just affect chicken farmers. It could affect anyone near an airport.
Exactly. But you mentioned earlier that there was a dissenting opinion.
Right. Not all the justices agreed with the ruling.
Yeah. Justice Black had some interesting concerns. He worried about, you know, the impact on progress, on aviation.
So balancing individual rights with the needs of society.
Exactly. And that's what makes this case even more relevant today with all the new technology we have.
Right. Like drones, those flying taxis, things like that.
Exactly. And that's something we'll get into in the last part of our deep dive.
Okay, so we've got this ruling protecting property owners, but not everyone on the Supreme Court agreed with it. What was the dissenting opinion?
Yeah, Justice Black, he agreed that, you know, infinite ownership of the sky was outdated.
Right.
But he was worried about, like, the impact of the majority's decision.
In what way?
He thought noise and glare from airplanes were more like, you know, nuisances.
Okay.
Stuff that could be dealt with through existing laws, like suing for damages.
It's just regular lawsuits.
Right, exactly. He thought the majority, you know, kind of went too far in calling those low flights a taking.
Okay.
And he was worried it could, like, stifle innovation in the aviation industry.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, too many restrictions could slow things down.
Exactly. It's like he was saying, hey, be careful. We don't want to hold back this whole new industry.
Right. Don't clip its wings before it even gets off the ground.
Exactly. Justice Black, he thought Congress should have more, you know, flexibility.
To balance those interests.
Yeah, individual property rights versus what's good for society as a whole.
Especially with new technologies popping up all the time.
Exactly. He also had some practical concerns.
Oh, like what?
Well, think about it. How do you determine exactly which flights are low enough, frequent enough to be a taking?
Yeah, that's true. It could be pretty subjective.
And he worried it would lead to, like, a flood of lawsuits.
From anyone living near an airport.
Yeah, claiming their property was being taken.
So it was that classic debate. Individual rights versus progress, the needs of society. And that debate is still relevant today, right?
Absolutely, even more so, I'd say. I mean, think about drones, those flying taxis.
All this new technology.
Cosby's direct interference standard, that test they set up, it's still relevant today.
But it's a lot more complicated now, right?
Exactly. Where's the line with drones flying over your neighborhood?
Or all those air taxis they're talking about.
It's like Cosby gave us the basic framework, but now we're pushing the boundaries of those ideas.
It's amazing that a case from 1946 about a chicken farmer is still shaping things today.
It shows you how forward-thinking that Supreme Court was. United States v. Cosby reminds us that property rights, they're not just about the ground beneath our feet. It's about that usable space above us, too.
And it shows that even seemingly small disputes, like a farmer annoyed with some planes, can lead to these huge legal battles that change everything.
Absolutely. And they leave us with this big question: who should be responsible for finding that balance? The courts or Congress?
Wow, yeah. Who gets to decide where the line is? Individual rights or the good of society?
It's a tough question. No easy answers. And that's what makes this case so fascinating, even today.
It really makes you think. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive into United States v. Cosby. It's been quite a journey.
My pleasure. It's a case that's definitely left its mark on legal history.
That's for sure. Well, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. Until next time, keep those property rights in mind, whether you're on the ground or in the air.
And remember, even in the wide open sky, the law always has a way of catching up.